Now on Money News, Roger Montgomery, talking trade. Thanks to Citrix, online meetings made easy. Visit gotomeeting.com.au.
And Roger Montgomery from rogermontgomery.com joins me as he does every Tuesday night, taking your calls. And of course, 131-873 is our number. Give us a call. We'd love to hear from you. The stock market, of course, has had a genuine roller coaster ride, as the cliche might be. But it's been well down. It's had a decent, solid rise today. Not a decent rise, a solid rise today. You wouldn't call it necessarily anything to get back all of the things that might have been lost in the past few weeks or so. So, Roger, has your buying continued? Tell me, last week you were buying. Has it continued?
We've been buying at a slower pace now. I like to buy on those times when everybody thinks the world is going to end. That's when you get bargains.
Well, people have thought in the past week or so that the world has gone to end. I mean, last Friday was a typical example of that, I would have thought.
Yeah, but the world won't end.
So, no, well, I don't know. Yeah, so, hello, obvious. Yeah, the comet's not on the way.
This too will pass, you know, so we go about our business.
Although, now, think about this, however, Roger.
Sure.
Being serious for a moment, yes. The debt is not going to pass in the United States or Europe quickly or easily.
Well, here's the thing. There's a difference between the debt in the United States and the debt in Europe. The debt in the United States, they can inflate their way out of because they've got the handle on the money printers. They can print money.
True. I agree with
Europeans
that.
Europeans can't do that.
Even so, that's another thing that's true. Even so, the United States cannot create inflation quickly.
No, that's right. But when I say they inflate their way out of it, effectively what they do is they devalue the dollars that they use to pay back the debt.
But they can't do that and devalue the dollars that they pay back the debt with if they inflate, which leaves that the US dollar is worth less, which it is against the Swiss franc and the gold price things, but not against the Japanese currency, the Chinese currency.
No,
because
that's
the problem of that is that as they make their own industry more competitive and make their own shares more valuable, they also make the Chinese country also more valuable as well.
Well, it depends on whether or not you factor in the value of the bonds that the value of the interest payments that China is now receiving at a lower rate.
And the Chinese have said that they will be very, very upset with the Americans. Not a good thing to upset the Chinese. They'll be very upset with the Americans if they try and inflate their debts away, which means that they'll devalue the debts that the Chinese hold, which is $1 trillion worth.
This is the war of words we're having at the moment about who's the currency manipulator and who's not. So that's exactly what it is. But I reckon there's a whole bunch of people in cars on the M2 that actually have no interest in what we're talking about.
No, do you know something? You may be right, but I think a lot of people would sit there and go, so that's what it's about. It's about the Chinese and the Americans.
Well, absolutely. Absolutely. In fact, what China's doing right now, which is really interesting in terms of, you know, the accusations about currency manipulation, is they're now buying the bonds of the Japanese and they're now buying the bonds of Europe in an attempt to actually increase the currency of Japan and the currency of Germany, for example, so that their exports are less competitive compared to Chinese exports. And that's how...
It's a dirty game, the whole thing.
It sure is.
So the person who is sitting out there at the moment and actually going, well, what the hell does that all mean
what
to me?
What does it all mean for me,
what
for
it
my
means,
superannuation?
Surely it means is that you've got to buy some hard assets.
Well, yes, and we've talked about gold for quite some time. We've talked about oil for a long time. We've talked about food. So all of those things, none of those things, they're big themes. They're not going to change anytime soon.
But in the two-speed economy here, many of your favourite picks are companies that have solid, reliable cash flows and potentially are undervalued. But many of those companies may be retailers.
Sure.
They may be services companies. And the issue is, of course, that those are companies that may be affected, at least in the short to medium term, by the two-speed economy.
Well, what I'm interested in are the businesses that even if the economy were to go into recession, they're going to win market share. So JB Hi-Fi's results came out recently. They're like-for-like sales. So when you just looked at the same stores from one year to the next, actually went down 1.2%, but their competitors went down by a lot more. So that means they're winning market share from their competitors.
Okay, we'll get a couple of calls on board. One of those is one of your favourite companies. Sam's in Perth. G'day, Sam.
Good evening, Ross and Roger.
G'day, Sam.
I'm enjoying your show.
Sam, you're listening on the internet, are you?
I am indeed.
Geez, you're a good man. How did you find out about us over in Perth?
I am a fan of Roger's. I've read his book and I listen to you on TV.
Well, so, there you go. Good on you, Sam. We're very pleased. We'll try and see if we can get a network deal up in Perth. That'd be even better. You can listen on the radio then.
Absolutely.
Good on you, mate. Now, how can Roger help you?
Roger, I just would like you to comment, if you could, on MCE Matrix. I think they put out their report today, what the future is and perhaps touch on the intrinsic value. Thank you.
I just wrote 1,000 words on it for one of Ross's friends.
Who's that? Alan Kohler. For Alan Kohler, good mate of mine, yes.
So that'll come out tomorrow.
For Business Spectator, was it?
No, for his newsletter.
His newsletter, right up.
So I've just finished writing about it, actually. So I've looked across the numbers. My big concern when I look at that result is that the company is forecasting 20% growth in revenue, but they haven't won a contract in the last 6 months. So they haven't won a single contract. There's a number of issues, and cash flow is the big one. When you look at their cash flow, what you'll discover is that it's been negative. They're burning about $750,000 a month on expenses, and they haven't won a contract. Now, they reckon they will. They say they've got $500 million in a tender, in a tender pipeline, and $110 million of orders on their book. But what's important to note is that their order book has actually declined from 180 million to 110. So 6 months ago it was 180 million. Now it's 110 million. So it's actually gone down. They haven't won any new orders. And the on their balance sheet, they've got a liability. If you have a look at the balance sheet, they've got a little liability there that's called deposits. And that's zero. So they haven't got any new deposits either.
Rightio, Sam, that I hope helps you a little bit. Roger, thank you for that. We're going to take a break right now. Be back with more of Roger Montgomery. Got a couple of calls on the board and also a couple of emails for Roger as well. Join us if you like. 131-873 right here on Money News.
This is Money News with Ross Greenwood on 2GB. Thanks to Commander, the experts in phone systems, mobile, voice and data solutions.
A couple of minutes to go on Money News with Roger Montgomery from rogermontgomery.com. First up, a quick email from Richard for Roger. He notes that Westfield was one of your picks in the past, but now, by your classifications, it's a C4. He wants to know, what do you think now?
Oh, look, I think it's expensive. I think all of the retail, I think all the REITs, the real estate investment trusts, are expensive. The GFC has paid to them, I think, for quite some time, simply because they basically drew a line in the sand. They said, all past shareholders, we don't care about you anymore. We're going to dilute you. We're going to issue a whole bunch of shares below equity, and we're going to go forward from here and fix up our balance sheets. So the result is a decline in intrinsic value for most of those companies.
Okie dokes. Let's go to Lincoln in Adelaide now. G'day, Lincoln. You on the internet as well?
Yes, I have been, Ross.
Excellent. Good to hear from you.
Thank you. Thanks for taking my call. It was just a question regarding gold company Northern Star Resources I've been looking at for a little while now, and with the rising gold price and things, just wondering what Roger's views were.
They're actually producing, Lincoln?
They are, yeah. They're in a good position of producing while the prices are pretty good at the moment, and they don't have any debt either. So.
Look, I try and narrow down the universe of stocks that I actually spend time focusing on. And in the gold space, I own a company called Silver Lake Resources. So you can go and research that one. I'm sorry, I'm not going to be able to help you with Northern Star simply because I've been focused on Silver Lake. The other one that we've spent a little bit of time looking at is Troy as well. So there's two gold stocks for you to go and research.
Might be another one for you to have a little bit of a look at as well. Lincoln, thank you for that one. Let's go to Chris in Sydney. G'day, Chris.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good, thank you.
A good question in regards to a copper company, Sandfire and Aditya Birla.
Yeah, I know Sandfire. Sandfire's gone bonkers, hasn't it? It's had a pretty rocky ride as well.
Yeah, basically it just keeps going up. But I was just looking at it. Needs to raise
$60 million
to build a 1.5 million ton plant to start producing in a couple of years' time, and it's got an overall resource of around 600,000 ounces. And I was trying to compare it to Aditya Birla, who already has in place two producing mines that produce roughly 50,000 and 20,000 tonnes of copper per annum. And
Right now, Chris, I'm going to keep moving because we're running out of time.
Yes,
Chris,
I'm trying to work out why Sandfire is valued at four times the value of Aditya Birla.
I was just going to say, in Australia, we like to spend things for hope than we do for reality. So we pay more for expectation and possibility than we do for probability.
I'll tell you what, Chris, I'm going to leave it there because we're running out of time. But it's cool, actually, buying the sizzle and selling the sausage, I think it might be. And in other words...
Selling the sizzle and not the steak.
That's exactly right. Sometimes away. Can I just say, always a pleasure to have Roger Montgomery. Sometimes we find ourselves with too little time. We can talk about plenty as well. But Roger Montgomery is with us every Tuesday night here in Money News. That is the program. Thanks for your time and your calls and your thoughts. I'm Ross Greenwood, and this is Money News.